You know, as I listen to the news and I see social media and just listen to kind of the national dialogue of things, one thing that strikes me is that there are many negative characteristics of modern America. Well, one of those that is often overlooked is that of ingratitude, just simply a lack of thankfulness. There's so many people taking for granted what they have. We just don't realize how privileged we are, how much we have. And I'm listening to people really denouncing, for example, our founding fathers who gave us the Constitution, which in my own humble opinion is nothing short of genius for what it was and the time in which it was developed and what it provided for us. It provides a structure of government and democracy that protects individual rights, personal privileges. Many people misuse this. They take it for granted. They think it's a license for I can do anything I want to, and they don't realize the big picture of it and how important it is to America and to the freedom that we're enjoying right at this very moment. There are those who really have no appreciation or little appreciation for those who have fought, those who have served, those who have died in our American military. And to defend all that freedom that I just talked about. There's been a lot of sacrifices made. Some made the ultimate sacrifice. And in the news here lately, it just seems like, you know, there's more attention paid to illegal immigrants than there is our own servicemen. And this is wrong. And it shows the ingratitude that we have toward those men and women. We should be grateful, you would think, for the amazing level of science and engineering, technology, all those things that give us the ability, the efficiency, and the information that we've never had before in all of human history. Many people assume all this for granted or take it for granted. Many people exploit these things for evil or just use these as the detriment of their own spiritual well-being. But the fact is that we just have an overall attitude of entitlement, I think, that we deserve all these things. We deserve to live such a pampered and comfortable life, and instead of just bowing our knees to God who gives us these things. We think about all the conveniences, all the creature comforts, all the luxuries of modern America, everything from electricity to running water to an abundant and generous food supply to automotive transportation. You have to stop and think about this, that we are living in a more comfortable lifestyle than the world has ever lived at any time in all of human history. Let that just sink in for a minute. In all of human history, people generally have not had the luxuries that you and I enjoy on a day-to-day basis. And that should be something that we are thankful for. Many Americans are not. Now, I was encouraged, I will say. David gave that little talk Wednesday about different states that are grateful for different things. Some are grateful for what? YouTube? Seriously? And Google and things like that. But there are others that are grateful for life and health and family and loved ones, etc. And that, you know, thankfully there is some good in America still. But that's not what you always see. That's not prevailing, unfortunately. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 22, Paul says that the ancient pagans knew that God existed, but they did not honor him or give thanks. They simply dismissed an all-knowing, all-powerful being, a being who spoke to them, a being who provided miracles for them, a being who revealed himself in his own son. So they dismiss him and bowed instead to their man-made idols, idols who have no voice, no power, no help. Today's culture really is not a whole lot different. Most people know that God exists, but they don't honor him and they don't give him thanks. They dismiss God as they bow to their iPhones, their iPads, their TVs, their gaming, their sports channels, their celebrities. And these things have no original voice. They have no real power and they can't really help us. Paul promises in that passage there that God's wrath will be against all unrighteousness and, by implication, all ingratitude. Because ingratitude is part of unrighteousness. It is unacceptable and unbecoming for rational, intelligent, wonderfully made people, as we are, to spit in the face of our Creator, bite the hand that fed us, to not acknowledge where our blessings really come from. But on the other side of the spectrum, I want to be positive in this point here. In Colossians 3:17, part of the reading there, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. While this ought to be expected from anyone who is made in the image of God, you would think, right? It is especially expected from those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ and spared the condemnation that we rightly deserve, that we have brought upon ourselves. Colossians 2, verse 7, if you were to back up a chapter there, it says that having been firmly rooted and built up in Christ and established in our faith, we are to be overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with gratitude. Not just a little now and then. Not just a little bit here and there. Not just when the mood strikes. But it should be something that's always on our mind. That's really what overflowing would imply. Something profusely bubbling up in our conversations, in our songs, in our spiritual prayers. These are things that we should be thinking about. That word overflowing there means abundant or abounding, surpassing anything ordinary or expected. Paul is saying, in essence, that Christians of all people ought to be gushing and spilling over with many thanks and expressions of gratitude. I want to be clear in this lesson. I'm not suggesting for a moment that you haven't been doing this or that we haven't been doing this. I was listening to the prayers today in light of this lesson, and I heard several of the men, maybe all of them if you think about it, that said in some way or another that, God, you deserve our humblest thanks and our many, many thanks for all that you have done for us. And I appreciate that here. I really do. So I'm not saying that it's not something we're unaware of, but at the same time, maybe we can do it even more so in our private lives, or just maybe we need more focus on that for the purpose of this, what we're going to be getting into in this lesson. Because gratitude should not be limited to mere words that are spoken or lyrics and songs. The highest form of gratitude really is in our obedience. And that's where this lesson is going. The word gratitude in the New Testament comes from a Greek word, eucharistia. Some of you Catholic people, former Catholic people, I should say, will recognize the Eucharist in that word there. It means thanks, thankfulness, thanksgiving, not surprisingly. It's not just saying thank you, though, but it's understood as an act of worship. You know, we have in our tradition here the five acts of worship, the hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. You notice that gratitude is nowhere in there. And yet gratitude is an act of worship. It's under often overlooked or underappreciated. And when we tend to focus only on doctrine and technical details, we miss really what God is wanting from us, and that is a grateful heart. Because a grateful heart will produce the kind of service and the kind of love and the kind of response that he wants from us, that he desires from us. And because all of that is in our best interest. He's not just wanting it from us because it makes him feel better. He wants it from us because it makes us better people. In the Old Testament system, there were three kinds of offerings. There was a sin offering, which is all about atonement for sin, obviously. That's why they called sin offerings. There was burnt offerings, which was all about consecration. They would burn an animal wholly, completely burn an animal on the altar. And it was a way of saying, as this animal is wholly given over to the flame, so I am wholly given over to God. It was an act of consecration. Then there was the free will offerings, otherwise known as peace offerings, sometimes called thank offerings. In other words, there was an entire category of offerings dedicated to praising and thanking God. So the idea was that, first of all, you would take care of your problem, which was your sin. That would happen through the sin offerings. And then you would dedicate yourself to God, and that happened through the burnt offerings. And then having been atoned of your sins and now consecrated to God, you would show your peace with God or your thanks to God through a free will offering, an offering of thanksgiving. Always in that order. And while the thank offerings were not demanded by law, they certainly were regulated by law, but not demanded, they were expected of a people who showed gratitude to their God. So in the midst of all the slain animals and the cutting up of animal bodies and the blood and the entrails and all the stuff that had to be done in order to offer an animal, they were expected to offer these offerings or offer these sacrifices with joy and gratitude and thankfulness. And there were yearly feasts and observances that were all about celebrations of God's love and God's providence and God's grace, graciousness, really, to his people. I think looking for a passage that really kind of encapsulated the idea I'm talking about here. I chose Psalm 54, verse 4 and 6. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. Willingly, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, our Lord, for it is good. And that sums up the attitude there that the Old Testament Israelites should have had toward all of these things. It succinctly conveys that idea of all the law-keeping and Jehovah worship is not just about law and, you know, technical details and cutting up of animals. It's really about gratitude toward God. In other words, not something casual, not something ritual, not something mechanical, but something that erupted or just really bubbled up out of the heart, that we are just so thankful to be God's people. In the New Testament, it's not hard to find instruction for or references to or expressions of gratitude of Christians. I'm going to give you just some samplings here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, 58, thanks be to God who gives us the victory over sin, that is, through our Lord Jesus. And just want you, actually, that's the wrong verse. It should be 56, 57 there on the screen. So the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory over that sin and over the condemnation of law is really what it's expressing there. So the way of escape, the salvation God provides for us is always something that should be right in the front of us. Right in the front of our minds, even as we worship in our assemblies here on Sunday, partaking of the Lord's Supper especially, we should always be recognizing just the fact that we should have been condemned. That's what we deserve. That's what we brought upon ourselves, and that we were spared that through Christ. And that deserves thanks on our part. We have victoriously overcome sin through Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 20, it says, be filled with the Spirit, and then goes on to say, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Anything and everything good in your life, and I'm not talking about just the things you count as good, but anything that is truly good, comes from God. Anything that serves your best interest, whether you realize it or not, comes from the Father, in whom there is no shifting shadow, but the Father of lights, you know, rains down upon us all kinds of goodness and blessings all the time. This is something that you should take time to itemize every once in a while. I don't mean every day and every hour, but you should take time, instead of generalizing this, instead of saying, Lord, just thank you for everything, just thank you for all the good gifts you give us, you should itemize some of those good gifts. Take time to recognize how many good gifts you have. I do this myself in my own prayers, particularly my private prayers. Don't want to belabor someone else with, you know, all my blessings. But I do take time to think about that. And I start going through and the list just gets longer and longer. And I realize that there's so many tangents off that, things I hadn't really thought about before. And that really is impressive to me, how well and how much God has blessed me. And I know that God has blessed you that way too. And it deserves your time to think about that. Philippians 4, verse 6, we're not supposed to be anxious. Really, that word anxious means fearful. We're not supposed to fear things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God certainly wants to hear from us. He certainly wants to hear from you, but not just with your pleading list of requests and petitions and favors. With thankfulness modifies or conditions that petition-making process. So absolutely bring your petitions to God. He wants to hear them. He wants you to lay those at his feet. But he doesn't want you to do so just because he's like a dispensing machine where you put the quarter in, push the button, and expect some kind of, you know, answer to your problem. He wants you to recognize that he is the provider of everything good in your life. And he wants you to do so with a good heart, with a glad heart, with a joyful heart there. So, be rejoicing, as he says in verse 4 of that passage there. Be always rejoicing and think about that as you make your request to him. I'm not going to reread Colossians 3, verse 15 through 17. Mike already read that for us. But there are some expressions in that passage. Be thankful, singing with thankfulness, or thanksgiving rather, the giving of thanks. Those are coming right out of that passage. In other words, what Paul is saying here, as I understand it, is that gratitude ought to fully permeate our worship and our songs and our singing and even our daily life. We should be thinking about this all the time, not singing songs simply like trying to get the music down and trying to pronounce the words correctly, but more so backing up from all that and saying, this is a song of praise and thanks to our God. Do I really mean this song? Has God really blessed me, like the song says? Or in our prayers, you know, not just going through the mechanical, dear Lord, thank you for this food, you know, thank you for this day, and thank you for, you know, insert thing that you've been saying for the last 20 years or whatever it is, you know, just be very mindful of how God has blessed you and let that bubble up in everything you talk about. While I did say that I think we do well in our prayers here, I don't always hear in our conversations as frequently as my understanding is we're being taught here, the idea of thankfulness. Nothing wrong with us talking about God's gratitude, or God's graciousness rather, and our gratitude toward God for that in our regular conversations with one another. You know, I hear in movies and sitcoms, you know, people talking about, especially in the area of romance, or, you know, I'm looking for my soulmate and trying to meet someone and trying to, you know, find that true love. And people talk about how the universe is, you know, working together to bring me this soulmate. And that's just nonsense. You know, the universe is smiling on me. That is pagan to its core. I know it sounds funny in a sitcom, perhaps. It might sound amusing, but honestly, that's pagan to the core. That's basically saying, I depend on the mechanical, amoral, unfeeling, unmerciful working of the constellations and planets and everything to bring me something that is meaningful and joyful in my life. Nothing different there than the pagans praying to the planets or the sun or the trees or the rivers and the ocean to bring them life and protection and, you know, well-being and so on. It's just pagan to the core. We should not do that. We should look to a living God to bring us the joy that he wants for us. Rejoice always, therefore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Well, what does that mean? In everything, give thanks. Here's my take on that. That means in everything, give thanks. Okay? That's how I rendered it. And so, it's all consuming here. It's all comprehensive in nature. Give thanks for everything. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Giving thanks is not a chore like pay bills, mow the lawn, give thanks, feed the dog. You know, it's not numbered in with our mundane activities. We are to be enthralled with the joy and gratitude of living in fellowship with our God. He is the source of our life, the source of our mercy, the source of our grace, the source of our future with him. He is the source of all that. And when he says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, well, he means that God's desired and expected response of the redeemed is that very thing right there. Someone says, well, what should I do with my life? Well, here's a good start. Give thanks to God for who you are and what he's done for you and all the things that he's accomplished just so that you could be with him. That would be a great place to start right there. And don't lose sight of that as you move on to other things. Make that a regular part of your life. Hebrews 13:15, through him then, through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name. This fruit that he mentions here can take the form of songs or prayers, spiritual conversations, whatever is appropriate. Just like free will offerings, so we freely and joyfully and generously offer up our gratitude to him. What all of this does then is it forces us to recognize and accept willingly, voluntarily, even gladly. It forces us to accept our full dependence upon God for our well-being. I know someone might argue, well, I don't need God to exist because there's a lot of people out in the world that don't care about God, don't acknowledge him, and they seem to be existing all right. But not acknowledging God and not needing him are not the same thing. Those people out there that don't acknowledge God, they still need him. They just don't know it, or they don't care, or they don't acknowledge it. It's kind of like saying, well, I don't acknowledge oxygen, but certainly you need it. Or I don't acknowledge science, but certainly the world operates on scientific laws and natural laws and so on. Or I don't need love. Well, actually you do. And regardless of whether you acknowledge love in the world or not, desperately, we need it. So don't think that all these people are just because they're physically existing and without acknowledging God, that they're getting by just fine, and that our gratitude toward God is just some, you know, thing that we do in our religion. No, we're actually recognizing how much we do depend upon Him. There's that interesting account in Luke 17, verse 16 and 17, where this Jesus heals 10 lepers, and one comes back to Him on his way to the priest. He comes back to Him, falls on his face at Jesus' feet, and giving thanks to Him, it says, he shows his gratitude to the Lord. That giving thanks there is a form of worship. He not only recognized Jesus as the healer, the redeemer, and the savior, but he was overflowing with gratitude to him for all that he has done, all that he does, and all that he promises. That's all implied in that account there. And that's something that you and I should think about there. Not only that, but we should be thinking about just how much better we have it than what that leper turned healed man understood at that time. We understand things so much better now. We have such a clearer picture. We have the whole gospel revealed to us, and we should give thanks to God for that. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 16 and 17, it says the 24 elders in this visionary scene that John sees, who sit on their thrones before God, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty." Such expressions ought to be in our prayers and in our songs and in our praises. And my question to you at this point is, are they in yours? Do you talk this way? Do you give thanks to God in this way? Revelation 4, verse 9 is similar. The living creatures, whatever they are, higher angelic beings of some kind there, they give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever. If angelic beings in heaven do this, how much more should we who are far lower than they are? Just think about that for a moment. If angels in heaven are thanking God, then they know something about God, and they know that He deserves thanks. They see Him all the time. How much more so should we be giving thanks, who are of a very much lower nature than they are, be giving thanks to our God in our appreciation of Him? And so all of this does force us to consider, what is the highest form of this gratitude that we're talking about? Is it eloquence in the words of our prayers? Does someone with an eloquent prayer give better thanks than someone who doesn't have such a vocabulary, or doesn't have that diction that someone else might have? How about the beauty of our voice as we sing? Well, what if you don't sing so well? There's some of us who maybe don't sing so well. I don't want to point out names or anything, but, you know, I mean, it's just every congregation, you know, there's people that just don't sing so well. So are they under some kind of fault here? They can't express gratitude as someone who might sing better than them? Is it all come down to that? You know, the amount of words that you know, or the beauty of your vocal talents, has it all come down to that? Let me propose to you that God is looking for something from us that is not limited to words or music or religious sounding praises. The highest form of gratitude, it transcends all of that. And it's something that every single person can do. And that is our obedience to Him. The highest form of gratitude is keeping God's commandments. This is not a new thought. Isaiah 66, 2, the latter part, God says, To this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite or repentant of spirit, and who trembles or reveres my word. Trembles at or reveres my word there. In other words, he shows great respect to my word. He listens to me. He obeys me is what that translates to. And so this is something that is already embedded in the Old Testament, in the writings of the prophets. Micah is a little bit more expressive here. Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That's what God wants of us. That is gratitude right there. That is gratitude. Now you're saying, well, you know, doesn't that mean we have to say literally, thank you, God, for such and such? You are saying thank you. When you listen to him and obey him, that is a thank you to God. At least if it's done with the right heart, which I'll talk about here in just a minute. What really matters is a willing, joyful surrender of your heart, a humble reverence toward his word and toward his power and toward his ability to save you. That's what God's looking for. That's what he's looking for from you and I right now. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, by this we know that we have come to know him if, and that's a conditional statement, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Well, there it is. That's what he's looking for. And there is a great deal of gratitude embedded or involved in that keeping of his commandments. We're not just to read about God or offer a token acknowledgement of his existence there, or even just agree with his truth. We honor him by keeping his commandments. We honor him in doing so. We show our thanks. We are grateful to God in that way. But to be clear, commandment keeping by itself without gratitude is a joyless, mechanical, and impersonal way to respond to God's grace and mercy. We've all seen Christians who act only out of duty and obligation, often because of the fear of hell, not for the joy of serving God. They are usually unhappy, they are critical, they are legalistic. They adhere to the letter of the law and ignore or are oblivious to the spirit of the law. They're always looking for fault in someone else. They're very uncompassionate toward other people's plights. And that's not what God has called us to do in our commandment keeping. Our commandment keeping is a form of gratitude only when we have the right heart, when we have the right attitude to begin with. Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 11 and 12, says that we're to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. And then he says, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Our redemption, and I'm going to be real personal here, my redemption is something that I did not earn, I do not deserve, I cannot acquire on my own. It is a gift of God, and the only right response from me or from you is joy and thankfulness and overflowing with gratitude, the joyous giving of thanks. Now, if I am obeying God, keeping his commandments with that kind of attitude that, God, I am doing this so that I can give you my highest expression of thanks, and God smiles on all that. That finds great favor with God. So if you're wondering what you should do here, when we said earlier, well, giving thanks is a start, but to really make that real and to show where your heart is and your real loyalty to God, giving thanks as you keep God's commandments. Because you should know that God is not honored by tons of praise without obedience. That's what the religious world is making the mistake of right now in all of their awesome godness and, you know, praising God with the bands and all the, you know, the high-tech sound systems and everything else and the celebrities getting up there and, you know, kind of hooping it up with everybody and everyone's arms swaying through the audience there. Everyone's thinking that if we just praise God, then that's really what he wants. Well, he does want praise, but he doesn't want praise without obedience. On the other hand, he doesn't want sour, pickle-faced, militaristic obedience without joy or gratitude. What he wants and what he deserves is praise and thankfulness as well as obedience, and all of this done with joy, with a joyful heart, joyously giving our thanks. What he's really after here is a what we might call lifestyle worship. Not a worship that takes place only in a church building or only when we assemble together, but a lifestyle of worship to God. Common phrase in a lot of our prayers here given in this group is, you know, giving God glory and honor. I hear that a lot, glory and honor. It's really not left up to us to determine how or when or what measure these things are to be given, this glory and honor. It is God's right, his prerogative to tell us, rather, how he is to be glorified and how we are to honor him. Because left to ourselves, and I'll make it personal, left to myself, I don't know how to glorify or honor God by myself. I don't know how to do that. Unless, of course, I go into the word he revealed to us and I start reading about what he said about honoring him and glorifying him. So all we can know for certain about how to honor and glorify God and his Son is what the Holy Spirit revealed. And here's some things to think about that are, I think, pretty basic. First of all, diligently study his word, teach it accurately and actively. Be a student of the Bible, and not only just for the sake of gaining knowledge, but also for the purpose of sharing that knowledge whenever you have opportunity. Obviously, as we said, obey his commandments, and don't just obey the ones that you like, or the ones that don't require any change in your present lifestyle, okay? But rather, all of them. Be active in praise and prayer, as was read in the scripture reading, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and also offering service in God's name to whoever needs it. And of course, be overflowing with gratitude. Always be humble. Always be thankful. Always be appreciative. And always do so with joy and not with a begrudging, if I have to, you know, attitude. Like, if I have to come to worship, or if I have to read my Bible, or if I have to, you know, forgive somebody. You should want to do those things. I can't make you do that. That has to come from you. But it also has to come from your response to, your proper response to all that God has already done for you. That's where that has to come from. God loves a cheerful giver. But a cheerful giver will only come from a grateful heart. Just think about that. God loves cheerful givers. Cheerful givers are made from people with grateful hearts. So if you have a grateful heart, you will be a cheerful giver. I'm just convinced of that. Where we start with that is not being a cheerful giver. Where we start with that is having a grateful heart. In essence, what we're told is to sit at the Master's feet, just like Mary did. Learn his teachings, imitate his behavior, follow his leadership, and be overflowing with gratitude. The highest demonstration of gratitude is our joyful obedience. This is far better than mere words or just good intentions or even beautifully sung hymns. Okay? If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, you know, as we say, or if you can't find the words to say to make your prayers, you know, eloquent as we might expect them, don't worry about that. Here's one thing you can do. You can be joyously giving thanks to God through your obedience to him. Everybody can do that. Nobody can be left out of that. After all God has done for us, the least that we can do for him is be humble and thankful in our worship of him. This passage here is pretty powerful in light of all that. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. How you should read that passage is, if you don't show gratitude, then your service is unacceptable, no matter what it looks like otherwise. Our service to God must be accompanied with reverence and awe. That's true, but also with gratitude. So think about it as we go through our typical, as we call it, worship service. This should be a service filled with gratitude, a service that is filled with our thanks to our God for all that he has done. Many Americans, as I said, are spoiled and ungrateful, thinking themselves entitled even as they live their overprivileged lives. What's even worse than all that, though, is spoiled and ungrateful Christians. That's even worse than that, because we should know better. Of all people, we should know better. I'm not suggesting, again, that you have been ungrateful. I'm only stating that ingratitude is very unbecoming of God's people. We are expected to be, of all people, overflowing with gratitude. So let me encourage you and me and all of us, and this has nothing to do with the holiday season. This is not a get ready for Christmas season. This is not anything to do with that. Let me just state the obvious here, that we are to be overflowing with gratitude. We literally, and I mean literally, cannot thank God enough for all that he has done for us. Just think about that. If you spent all night thanking God for everything, you haven't even scratched the surface, because there's things God is doing for you and I that we don't even know about to ensure our salvation. There's things that he has already done for us that we don't even know about to ensure our being with him. He has plenty of gifts and blessings and promises to give to us as long as we do so in our worship to him with joyful obedience, just as Christ taught us. So let that lesson be yours. Take that to heart. Let me encourage you to be more mindful of your gratitude. as you pray to him, sing to him, and praise him, okay? If there's anyone that needs to come forward tonight for whatever spiritual need you might have, this would be your time to respond and come forward if you need to as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.